1 Kings chapter 20. Have a rather lengthy scripture reading, but I encourage you to follow along in the Word of God. What we're going to be looking at this morning is a battle between Israel and the Syrians. And Israel only has about 7,232 soldiers, and the Syrians have over 127,000. So there's a tremendous difference in the size of the army of Israel and the size of the Syrian army. And as they go to battle, and as we read in the Word of God about the people of God battling so much in the Old Testament, I would remind you that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning. And as we think about all of the battles of the Old Testament, we need to realize that every one of us, there's not a person in this building today that doesn't have battles to fight. You have different kinds of burdens and different kinds of problems, different kinds of afflictions and troubles. You face different kinds of temptations, but every one of you has a battle to fight. And I would remind you just to always remember four or five scriptures. These are scriptures that, as I've meditated about battles and the wars and the battles that we have in our own lives, there are four or five scriptures that just stand out in my mind that if you'll memorize these scriptures and if you'll think about these scriptures every day, it'll give you the strength and the grace that you need no matter what problems you're facing. It will help you if you'll remember these four or five scriptures. First of all, I want you to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not what?
Carnal.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's the first thing I want you to remember. Remember that if you want to really win the battles, you have to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If you try to pull up carnal weapons, if you try to use natural reasoning to win your battles, you'll lose every time. So remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Secondly, I want you to always remember that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to just always remember that. No matter who it is that you're having a problem with, I want you to remember that it's not really that person. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and you're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle that you're facing every day of your life. Even if it's a natural problem you're having, it's still a spiritual battle. Third thing I want you to remember is the battle is not yours, but what?
But the Lord's.
The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And if you'll think about the children of Israel and the times they won great battles, they were remembering every one of these things. That the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. The fourth thing I want you to always think about and say and remember is something that Jehoshaphat said when he says, we don't have any strength against this army, and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. Every time you're having trouble, every time you're having temptation, every time you're having problems, if you'll just lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help and acknowledge, I don't have the power, I don't have the ability, I don't have the strength, but God does have the power. In fact, remember one other scripture, and it is, not by strength, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the Spirit of God, and only the Spirit of God, and only the power of God that will help you to win the battles of life. So, you're dependent on God 100%. That's true of you individually, it's true of your family, it's true of this church, And it's true of our nation. And 1 Kings chapter 20, I want to begin with verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 21, the Word of God says, "And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter." Now, which one had the most number of people in their army? The Israelites or the Syrians? The Syrians. Over 127,000 to 7,000 soldiers. Now, the Word of God says that the children of Israel went out and they slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Now listen to verse 22. "And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, king of Syria will come up against thee." In other words, it's not all over. The king's coming again. But what's he saying? You go home and strengthen yourself. You go home and you think about what God just did for you. Did you know it's important that every one of us, as we face troubles and problems, it's important that we think about how God gave us a victory, what God has done for us this season that we call Thanksgiving. Do you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be strengthening ourselves by thinking about what God has done for us, what good things God has done for us. That strengthens us. And what the prophet of God said to the king of Israel is, you go home and strengthen yourself. You go home and you think about how good God was to you in this battle, because you're fixing to have another battle. How many of you have ever thought you're tired of the battles? How many of you have ever heard that troubles come in threes? Have any of you ever heard that? You know, you get over one problem, and before you get over that, before you get back on your feet, boom, here's another problem. And before you get back on your feet from that, boom, here's another problem. And I'll tell you, sometimes after three, you find, and you say, well, I'm glad I'm through with that. Well, it's the three you start over again. And there are problems on top of problems, and troubles on top of troubles, and troubles come from every side. And the devil is always after you to destroy your life. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have troubles. Jesus told us, He declared, we're going to have troubles. But He told us how to face those troubles. What did the prophet of God tell the king of Israel? You go home and strengthen yourself. You think about what God's just done for you. And he was telling him to strengthen himself physically and get ready for the best next battle. But he was also saying, you go home and you think about what God just did for you, because it's going to help you in the next battle. If you think about what God's done for you in past problems in your life and troubles in your life, it'll strengthen you for the next battle, won't it? Isn't that what David did when he went to fight Goliath? What did he do? He said that God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He's going to deliver me from that uncircumcised Philistine. You remember? What was he doing? He was going back and strengthening himself by thinking about what God's done for him in the past. Now come down to verse 23. First Kings 20, verse 23, the Word of God says, "And the servants of the king of Syria." Now, did a servant come to the king of Israel and give him some good advice? Now I want you to listen to the servants of the king of Syria. "The servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills." Now do you know why they said that? Their gods are gods of the hills. Because they had just fought a battle in the hills. That's where this battle took place, where the Israelites defeated the Syrians. The battle was in the hills. So here's what the servants of the king of Syria said to their king. They said, their gods, their what? Gods, little g. I tell you, these were superstitious people, and they didn't know the one true and living God. And he says, their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. Let's get down in the valley, and surely we shall be stronger than they. What are the servants of the king of Syria saying? They want it in the hills, but you get them down in the valley, we'll beat them there, because their gods are gods of the hills and not of the valley. Come down to verse 24. "And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horses for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. What's he say? What have they been telling him to do? Now you go home Let's get the same number of soldiers, same number of horses, same number of chariots, but we'll fight them in the valley and we'll win in the valley. Verse 26 says, "And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad," that's the king of Syria, "numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them." Listen carefully. "And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids." Two little flocks of kids. Now what can two little flocks of kids do against a big pack of wolves? What can two little flocks of kids do against a large pack of wolves? What can they do?
Feed them.
Somebody tell me. Say it again.
Feed them.
Feed them?
Without God.
Okay. That's right, they can feed them. Okay, thank you, Brother Mike. I'm slow, but I finally got what you said. All two little flocks of kids or sheep can do is feed the wolves. And I'm not talking about giving them something. They're just going to be food for them. I preached a good sermon on that one time. Listen, brethren, the children of Israel were nothing but like two little flocks of sheep, two little flocks of kids. He says, what can two little flocks of kids do against a big pack, a big army? Well, I'll tell you, what is it that makes a difference in that two little flocks of kids or sheep? What makes two little flock of sheep able to defeat a big pack of wolves? There's one thing that makes two little flocks.
The shepherd.
Remember always, brethren, that's what we are as sheep. You try to fight the battles by yourself. You try to go against Satan. You try to fight the enemies of God. You try to fight the enemies you face in your life. You will lose. You are not strong enough to face the devil. I know we talk about the sovereignty and the power of God, but I want you to know the devil can whip any one of you and all of us together if God is not on our side. Don't ever think we have the power or the strength or the wisdom. We don't have it. We don't have the strength and we don't have the wisdom. We don't know what to do. Without the shepherd, we're lost. Without the shepherd, we're going to lose. But with the shepherd, we cannot lose. And so he says in verse 27, "And the children of Israel were numbered and they were all present, went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country." Verse 28 says, and this is the text, this is the main thought. Verse 28 says, "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord." Oh boy, here's what God has to say about this whole situation now. "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore, will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hands, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Do you hear what the king, you know what the prophet said to the king? What did he say? He says, because they've said, God is a God of the hills and not a God of the valleys, God is going to deliver all of them into your hands. You're going to defeat them because God is going to fight for you. Now, the main thought that's on my heart is that I want us to always remember that the enemies of God are wrong when they say God is in one place but not in another. Or that God can help you in one situation but He can't help you in another. Or that God can help someone else in that situation but God can't help you. I want you to always remember God is the Lord of the hills and the valleys. That's what I want you to remember. That's the thought. And listen, brethren, that's so full of preaching that I could preach the rest of my life if God would help me. That God is the God of the hills and the valleys. Now, let's just think for a few minutes. What do you think you could fill in for that statement, God is the Lord of the hills and the valleys? What do you think you can apply that statement, God is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys? What do you think you can think about that's a contrast of Him being the God of the hills and the Lord of the valleys? What can you think of? Now, don't say it out loud yet. There's a lot of... That's what I'm saying. That can apply to a lot of different things in your lives. Did you know that? God is the God of the hills and the valleys. Let me just mention two or three things to begin with, and then I'll get some thoughts from you. But first of all, I want you to know that every time that you are... Let me give you an example. Some of you have faced problems and won the battle, and the battle's behind you. Isn't that right? You have faced battles, and God has blessed you to win the battle, and the battle's behind you. You won. It's over. He's a God of the hills. You're on the mountaintop when you fought a battle and the battle's over and you won the battle. Aren't you on the mountaintop then? Aren't you happy? Aren't you filled with joy that you've got a great blessing and God gave you the victory? But listen, brethren, there are some things you face in your life that you're going to have to face every day as long as you live. There are some valleys that you're going to have. In fact, I would state this, that this whole world is like a valley. And so to some degree, you will always be in this low ground of sin and sorrow as long as you're in this flesh, as long as you're in this body. You're going to be in this low ground of sin and sorrow. This earth is nothing but a valley. Heaven is the hills, and He is the God of heaven, and He is the God of what? The earth. He's the God of heaven, and He's the God of earth. He's the God of the hills, He's the God of the valley. He's able to carry us home to heaven. We'll be with Him there in the hills, but He is also with us down here in the valleys. My heart goes out to people that all they think about is one day I'm going to the hill. One day I'm going to heaven and God's going to be with me there. I'll tell you the most wonderful message, or one of the most wonderful messages that are in the Word of God, is not just that one day we're going to go home to be with God. Not just one day we're going to go to the hills to be with God. But one of the most wonderful blessings is that right now God comes down and He's with us down here in this world. I look forward to going home to be with God. But listen, brethren, you know what I need more than anything else? I need to know that God's down here with me. God dwells with me. God is down here on this earth. Do you feel the presence of God? Do you know that God's down with you in the valley? That's the reason David said, yea, though I walk through the what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. God being with us. Listen, brethren, David did not feel like he could go through the valley by himself, but he knew that God was his strength. And he knew that with God's help he could go through the valley. How long are you going to be in a valley? Some of you are in valleys right now. Some of you are in economic valleys. Some of you are in family problem valleys. Some of you are in business valleys. Some of you are in other kinds of spiritual valleys. How long are you going to be in that valley? How long are you going to be in that valley? How long are you going to be in the valley? Some of you have physical valleys. Brother Mike and many of you have physical problems, and you've been in a valley a long time physically. My question is God with you in the valley? My point is, if God is with you in the valley, you can live the rest of your life in that valley and still be rejoicing in the Lord, and you can declare God is the God of the hills and He is the God of the valleys. Because even when you're in the valleys in some areas of your life, you're in the hills on other areas of your life. Even though you have some areas of your life you have problems in, there are other areas of your lives that you're on the mountaintop in. Have you ever been there where you had some things that you really had to endure and you had great trouble, but in the midst of all that, you could see God is lifting you up to the mountaintop? Little Blake, Brother Carthel's grandson that's here, I'll tell you, brethren, God performed a miracle in that boy's life, and I thank God and praise God for what God did for Blake. Blake's a wonderful man of God, a young man of God. He loves the Lord. And that damage that he had to his leg, it could have taken his leg, it could have taken his life, but God was with him in the valley. He was on the mountaintop while he was down in the valley. You understand the point that I'm trying to get across? There's about 100 points I want to get out, and I'm not going to get them out. But I want you to understand, God is the God of the hills and the valleys. There are sometimes God just delivers us from the trouble and just carries us right up to the mountaintop. We're not in the valley anymore. Have you ever been in a point in your life where you weren't in the valley? I have. I've been sometimes so happy in my life I couldn't remember any. I couldn't even think about any problems. I couldn't feel any problems. All I felt was I'm on the mountaintop. That songwriter that says I'm feasting on the manna. I don't remember all the words of that song, but it talks about he's on the mountaintop. On the mountaintop. God is the God of the hills and the valleys. God can help you win any battle, anywhere, anytime. God has that power to bless you, to be with you. And did you know that the people of God that understand that, you know what they have in their heart all the time if they're remembering that God is the God of the hills and the valleys? You know what they're going to have in their heart and soul all the time if you're remembering that God is the God of the hills and the valleys? You know what you're going to feel in your soul? What are you going to feel? What are you going to feel?
Joy.
What else are you going to feel?
Peace.
What else are you going to feel? Yes, all of that. You're going to have all of those things. Even though you have your troubles, even though you have your problems, you're still going to have the joy and the peace and righteousness. You're going to have great joy flooding your soul. You're going to be happy in the Lord. You're going to be rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because you're going to know the only reason that you're not depressed and discouraged, though you're down in the valley, is because God is with you. God is with you. One of the songs we sing is, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be on the mountaintop. It may be down in the valley. It may be on foreign soil, or it may be in our lives right here. But I'm telling you, brethren, we can go anywhere if God will be with us. If God be for us, who can be against us?" That's true of our nation. Brethren, I just cringe when I think about what our nation has done as far as God is concerned. Oh, listen, brethren. Washington, D.C. despises God. They don't want any mention of God anywhere. How can we expect God to help a people like that? How can we expect God to help a nation like that? And I would also say that any time that we turn our back on any part of God's Word, then we are just as guilty as Washington, D.C. when we say we're not going to do and not going to try to follow everything in the Word of God. You turn your back on one part of God's Word, it will not be long before you'll turn your back on another part of God's Word. You cannot compromise on any portion of the Word of God without eventually becoming a servant of the devil. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve God and at the same time do what your flesh wants to do. But with God's help, you can see and know He's the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. Go with me to, this is 1 Kings. You got 2 Kings, then 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Turn very quickly to 2 Chronicles. I want you to notice just a couple of things here. In 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What's the most important thing about you winning the battles you face in your life? What is the most important thing for you to remember about you winning the battles in your life? Say it again. Okay. That God is with you. Now, let me hasten to say that in the book of Chronicles, there is this statement that says, "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. But if you forsake Him, He also will forsake you." Have we forsaken God as a nation? Have we forsaken God as a nation? And this idea that we're God's nation and we're a Christian nation, so we're going to win the battle, that's a lie. We're not. We are not a Christian nation. We deceive ourselves when we think that we are. We're an ungodly nation. The other nations that accuse us of being a heathen nation, they're more right than we are when they say we're a heathen nation. The people who serve those other gods who are no gods, they're more faithful to their gods than America is to our God. They're living more godly lives, many of them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, many of them are living more godly lives than we're living here in America, in those heathen nations. We're in the most serious condition we've ever been in our lives. We need the Lord. God will bless us if we return to the Lord with all of our heart. But unless we return to the Lord, He's going to bring His judgments in a horrible way upon our nation. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, listen to verse 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 29, the Word of God says, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29, and I want you to go home and study this whole chapter. I think if you'll just study 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you'll read it over and over, I think it'll give you strength and courage like you've never had before. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is one of the most wonderful chapters in all the Bible to me. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, come down to verse 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 29, the Word of God says, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries," that's other countries outside of Israel, "the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." Do you hear that? What's the message there? When other nations see God blessing a nation, they're going to be afraid to confront that nation. Everybody follow that? That's what this verse is saying, is that all the other kingdoms, they were afraid of Israel. Why were they afraid of Israel? Because they knew that the Lord was with Israel. They knew that their one true and living God was with Israel. And brethren, God will always be with His people when they do what's right. May God help us to realize how much we need the Lord's help. It's a day-to-day, it's a personal thing, it's a family thing, it's a church thing, it's a national thing. We need God's help. Your marriage, I don't care whether it's me and Teresa or any marriage in this building, your marriage will not make it without God's help. You can't face anything in your life and win the battle. You can't go through any valley. You can't go up on any mountaintop. You can't go anywhere and win the battle without the Lord's help. He is the God of the hills and the valleys. In fact, if we were to turn to Psalm 139, we'll find that He's not on... Here's what David said. Don't turn, just listen. David in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, he uses several different illustrations. He says, "If I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there." What's that saying? He's the God of the hills and the valleys. You're on the mountaintop, God is there. If you're down in the valley, God is there. He says, "If I go out into the sea, God is there. If I stay in the desert, God is there." He says, "If I'm in the light, God is there." He says, "If I'm in the darkness, God is there." You remember the Word of God says about Moses, that Moses was in the thick darkness. Have you ever been in thick darkness in your life? You ever been in the thick darkness? But here's what the rest of that verse says. Moses was in the thick darkness where God was. Where God was. Is God the God of the hills and the valleys? Is He a God of the light and the darkness? Is He a God of heaven and earth? Our God is sovereign. And our God will help us. And we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. If we serve the Lord, He will help us. May God help us to obey God and fear God and serve God so that the Lord will be on our side, is my prayer for Christ's sake.